by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Terry Simpson and Terry O'Neill.
Hi. I'm Terry. That's Carrie. That's Carrie. I'm Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. How
You're
are you
looking
doing?
Wonderful. You're looking young and vibrant and... absolutely glowing. Must be spring.
Must be spring.
That's good.
I think it is spring.
It is spring.
My flowers are telling me it's spring.
Yes. So what's your week been like?
My week has been incredibly busy, as always, but you know, always good. You know, even when we have these great wars, and I was just sharing a few little tidbits
with you. Your
wars,
your legal wars, and your ongoing guerrilla warfare.
You know, the fun thing is now, even when they put up these obstacles, we win, you know, because now we get to make them public and people get to see what we really have to go through on these issues. And, of course, the other thing is the insanity abounds. And actually, I said something earlier today. Somebody had called because we get a lot of calls about the show. And they said, well, you and Terry, you know, you guys, you deal with so many, you know, crucial situations. You know, how do you guys remain in your sense of humor? I says, well, it's just therapy for us. Yes. This is our weekly therapy.
Well, you have to laugh. I mean, there were several things that came across our desk this week that we had to laugh about. One of them, I just finished yesterday writing a column, which I hope to get published in a national paper in the next couple of, maybe within the next week anyway. And I couldn't believe this. This is written by a professor named Thomas Homer Dixon, wrote a column for the Globe and Mail newspaper. And I immediately recognized that name because he was one of the 10 nuttiest professors that I profiled for the Western Standard about four years ago, I think.
And he must have been very special for you to retain such
knowledge.
That's
right. And I remember this hyphenated name. And he currently holds the CIGI Chair of Global Systems at the Balsillie School of International Affairs in Waterloo, Ontario. That's what he's
got.
Of course,
he does.
He's kind of a disaster specialist. He's predicting. He says the world is on the edge of catastrophe and things like this. And that's how he was really over the top. But what he wrote about was that in the wake of the Fukushima nuclear near meltdown, overheated reactor situation, the way human beings respond to this will mark a turning point in history and will also be a defining challenge in the evolution of our species. And I went, wow, is that ever profound? What does it mean?
Not you, Terry.
And guess what? He never explains what it means. It's just this big words, big expression, and you know, anyway, I had some fun with it. I hope this column comes out. It's probably going to be out next week in the National Post, but if not, we'll get it up on the website.
It's a must read.
Wait for it, folks. It's the evolution of the species is coming because of
this profound
moment in time that we have before us, which is an accident or serious problems.
Haven't we kind of been here before? Isn't Chernobyl and Three Mile Island? I mean, or is this one just so profound?
You know, it kind of reminds me of these people. I mean, I've heard this expression, this evolution of our species a lot in the last 5 years, too. And everybody...
Darwin started.
This is a social evolution.
Oh, the social.
Well, actually, you know when it started? It started with this whole Age of Aquarius stuff, right? In the 60s. I know you sat it out. You were just a little girl
way
then.
In the 60s.
I sat it out. But everybody everybody thought the world was moving on to another level, another age.
The age.
And for the last half century, you've got tarot card readers. You've got astrologists. You've got Deepak Chopra, whatever his name is. You know, and Oprah's guru who talks about human evolution
new
and
age,
stuff like this.
Gooey ooey.
Whatever actually saying, I mean, you know, we've got progress. I understand that. We've got intellectual progress. We've got technological progress.
But we got a lot of regression, too.
Well, we do sometimes, too. But, you know, every time we take a step forward in civilization, is that evolution? If that's evolution, then everything's evolution. Every day we're evolving, and that means nothing. So either you define it specifically as evolution of the species means something very big and profound and a transformation in a significant way happens, or... You don't. And he didn't do it. And therefore, it's everything and it's nothing. And that's
And more that, nothing than everything.
That's actually more serious, that little sentence that I just blurted out there, than what my column is. Because I do have some fun with this.
You could have just summed it up in those few words. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, it wouldn't have been nearly as much fun. It was a bit of a bit of therapy. Usually it's every week here for my therapy. Now, there was something else that came across our desk.
There's lots that come across our desk.
That one of our associates at Roadkill Radio sent us that I know that you absolutely loved. because this is a subject that I've attuned you to and the whole Roadkill family.
Well, you have trained us well.
That's
you know,
right.
Maybe we're evolving as a species.
That's right.
But yes, no, Terry has certainly transformed our focus on issues as they relate to animals as they impact our society or our evolution, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
use, you know, the terminology that we should.
That's right.
So there was a number of pieces came across my desk. One late last night from Arthur Thompson from the Radical Press, who always has great information. I actually wrote back to him. I was going to say, should I laugh or cry at this point?
Yeah.
But the BC Human Rights Tribunal people has just heard a very important case.
Oh,
I mean,
so important.
It's astounding. And it was.
And what was that case, Mrs. Simpson?
Well, that case involved an individual by the name of Mr. Lee, who took on an organization called a Better Life Dog Rescue Society and two of its principals that are involved in that. And he got upset, Terry. He was very upset because he wanted to adopt a dog that he believed was the reincarnation of a previous dog. And he framed his complaint.
Right. It's okay. They wouldn't let him adopt the dog.
They
probably
said
because
no.
He was a fruitcake.
Well, no, actually they said, no, this dog is a high energy dog, but we have another dog that we would let you adopt. They were very accommodating.
But that wasn't the reincarnation of his other dog.
Well, exactly
oh,
the point, Terry. And his spiritual and religious beliefs were discriminated against.
Oh, so that's the grounds on which he decided to take this complaint forward.
Of course, because he was discrimination. He was being discriminated
against.
Folks,
you see what a rat's nest, what a rabbit hole you fall into with this human rights legislation.
Well, no, but
it is unbelievable.
It gets worse than that. And I mean, here is the decision, and actually, we've linked it to
our
website.
They didn't. Okay, this actually made it to a full hearing and everything?
Yes.
Wasn't dismissed out of hand and he went to the press complaining?
Reason
there was actually a full hearing?
Well, no, they made an application to dismiss.
Okay, yeah.
And they heard it. But it was only after all the evidence was heard.
Oh, so they had to.
Yeah.
So it's a multi-page ruling.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Thank you.
Just think there's some family out there that worked all year and every bit of their provincial income tax went to pay for that. Because it's probably several thousand dollars.
Well,
just think of that. Just think that's you there.
Yeah.
That's you and your wife and your two teenage kids and their part-time job working all year to pay $8,000 in provincial income tax, let's say. And that's probably went right to that. And how do you feel about that? You feel good? I think
No. People should be extremely outraged.
They
have license to be outraged. And you know what the first thought that came to my mind, Terry, is over the years, and I've mentioned this before, cases, legitimate cases, strong cases involving discrimination
involving
Christians,
you.
Me,
yeah.
and students, for
yeah.
that matter,
yeah.
Have been filed, and they don't get the light of day. They're dismissed out of hand right now. But, you know, because this man's spirituality, religious beliefs and political beliefs involve the reincarnation of a dog, you know,
okay,
it's embraced.
This is obviously serious. We're going to look at this and make sure we treat him well. Holy mackerel. Folks, yeah, so there's going to be a link to this article
we
on
have,
our website.
Well, we've got, I linked the decision because I think people need to
see
what's going on here.
Wow.
And, you know, this has, I think this might be grounds for another human rights complaint from Kerry Simpson, because if they accept this kind of complaint and not my kind of complaint, there's something wrong with this picture, people.
Folks, any grievance you have anywhere. Actually, that's one way of just bogging down the human rights system.
Yeah.
Everybody with any complaint about anything, try to frame it in terms of some sort of discrimination. File a complaint at the Human Rights Commission and bog it right down.
There's an idea.
There's an idea.
That's a roadkill way,
right.
You know?
Yeah, we'll make the commission roadkill. That's right. We've got, there's tons of other stuff talk about, but yeah. We've got a big show of formal guests and things like that lined up. Later in the show, we'll be talking in studio with Don Spratt, our old friend, who's been in court for some more days regarding his alleged bubble zone infraction. It's a travesty that the charges were laid. It's a travesty that this is being heard. Carrie, you sat in on it for a while, it's unbelievable. This miscarriage of justice is taking
place. Well, not only a miscarriage of justice,
another huge waste of money.
Complete abuse of the criminal system. You know, just this week we're hearing one of the chief prosecutors saying, you know, we need to pump billions of dollars into our legal system. Well, millions. Okay, I won't exaggerate. But,
go ahead.
You know,
it's roadkill.
It'll eventually get billions.
That's right.
But, you know, they want more and more money. We need more courts. We need more judges. We need more clerks to, you know, facilitate the work of the judges. You know, and then this case is sitting there occupying a courtroom, a judge, a clerk, all the support staff that needs
and
to be
it's
done, Terry.
Just Mickey Mouse case.
It is absurd.
So we'll talk to Don Speck at all the details. In the middle part of the show, we'll be talking to our friend Alex Schadenberg. He's executive director of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition about the heartrending story of baby Joseph and the absolute dismal showing by the Canadian healthcare system where it wouldn't give him, little baby Joseph, some basic treatment. They had to take baby Joseph down to St. Louis, Missouri, which is not exactly the center of the civilized world.
don't offend our Missourians, okay? We have a large audience in the United States,
Terry. It's not like it's the biggest, best clinic in the world is there. Just your basic
you
American
qualified
city.
That now.
That's what I meant.
Thank
I'm
you,
short
the
for
basic American.
Any Missourians. you're from Missouri, and I'll have to show you that I am sorry. I'm sorry. For baby Joseph to get treatment there. So Alex will tell us about this and tell us what this we're going to ask him about what this all means about end-of-life issues, not just for children, but for adults as well.
Well, you know, and I have to tell you, it's also a sad commentary on our judicial system as well, and the rights of parents, and the compassion of a society. And, you know, I have to say, when we were talking about the wording for the announcement, you know, I kept wanting to use the word dying with dignity, but I didn't want to give the...
Yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? This is beyond that. So we came up with the term respecting life in death, you know, because that's what this was about.
Very nice.
Everybody knows that this little baby is not going to make it.
Yeah.
But how do we, as a civilized society, respect and embrace and uphold the family unit and the parents and the best interest of that child in this matter?
Excellent questions, and we'll raise those with Alex Schadenberg. But first, and he's been waiting patiently on the line for several minutes now, with an update on his always interesting free speech case, we have from points east, I believe Saskatchewan. Are you there, Bill Watcott?
Yes, Edmonton, actually.
You're in Edmonton now. That's right. Sorry. Thank you very much, Bill, and welcome to Roadkill Radio, and thanks for holding on to the line as Carrie and I got some stuff onto the record here about things that have
been, our therapy.
Oh, that sounds interesting, all that stuff.
Oh, there's all sorts of good stuff going on, and I understand that there's a bit of stuff happening with you these days as well, Bill. Why don't you fill our listeners in on the latest update on your free speech issues, free speech versus the authorities?
Number one, we're preparing to go to the Supreme Court of Canada in October, and I'm currently recruiting activists to help me put out more of the same type of flyers.
Now, did you?
I believe a good defense is.
Yeah. Now,
is
first,
pardon.
Yeah. Okay. Before we go any further, this free speech case centers on a campaign that you've been waging, and it's a hard hitting campaign against in favor of telling factual truths about certain sexual practices. Is that correct?
I guess I would call it, and what I would prefer to call it, is a campaign against homofascism.
Okay.
Because, there's a movement afoot to make all criticism, whether it's factual or not, about homosexuality illegal, and that's a form of fascism. And I've basically been defying those orders for the last 10 years from the human rights tribunals and commissions and whatnot, and putting out straight facts along with my theological perspective that homosexuals can be saved.
Right.
And, but of course the medical facts are almost non-debatable. They come from scientific studies. It's a dangerous lifestyle. And then, of course, I express my opinion that participating in a dangerous lifestyle like that is wrong, and one doesn't have to participate in it. And so, for that, I've been fined and gagged and... thrown out of a profession
We talked about this issue a couple of weeks ago, not yours specifically, but about the general issue of even when you tell factual truths, if they are offensive to somebody or some particular group, you can still be in breach of human rights laws. Certainly in at the national stage, at the federal law, and in several provincial jurisdictions as well, including Saskatchewan, including British Columbia, including Alberta.
The Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission, Enel Pandilla, that's his real name. I'm not playing on that. That's the name of the kangaroo judge, Enel Pandilla. He explicitly said that whether I think I have facts or not is of no bearing if I'm using those facts to promote his subjective version of hatred.
I see.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning here, just in a very quick overview, Bill, just so our audience, because we've had you on the show before, and we got a lot of responses. Matter of fact, there's a documentary being made about this case. This is an important case. This is truly drawing the line in the sand on your right as a Canadian citizen to express your religious beliefs and your right to freedom of speech. Now, going back, this case centers around your activity to hand out brochures that speak factually about the health risks associated with homosexuality. They speak factually about your theological belief as it relates to homosexuality, and you, from a Christian point of view, your definition of your Christian point of view.
Actually, even there, it is the mainstream Christian point of view. The United Church of Canada and various liberal groups are not mainstream within Christianity. But if you talk to any of the church fathers or any of the Protestant reformers, they would pretty much 100% agree with me on homosexuality.
Okay.
Now,
so
this is an issue. Let's be very clear at this stage that even if you're not a person who believes homosexuality is immoral, even if you're not a person who believes a lot of the medical evidence advanced even by homosexual rights activists themselves in defense of their own in their own complaint against the Canadian Human Rights filed at the Canadian Human Rights Commission, complaining that because they had so many adverse medical consequences to homosexual activity, that represented a de facto discrimination against them because the Canadian healthcare system wasn't giving special programs. So they
that
sort of
guy
admitted
who you're
that.
Talking about is Jens Hellquist,
that's
he
correct.
Was the expert who testified in my hearing.
Well, it must be
so-called expert.
Must be. Yeah, exactly. That's the fellow who's behind that complaint. So, but even if you discount that, there's still the basic issue here that all Canadians should be concerned about is the fundamental issue of freedom of speech. Mm. When what you are doing is not a criminal act, you're not fomenting a genocide, you're not calling for violence against any group, yeah, you may be certainly creating ill will against that group, though. But gee whiz,
I would prefer Canadians don't accept homosexuality.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah.
That's the whole point of what I'm doing.
Yes, I know that's the case.
I just don't apologize.
I want Canadians
on the right side of the issue.
Right, I want Canadians to know that there's no criminal infraction going on here.
If there was, then the law's wrong.
Yeah, well, even then, that's right. Well, that would be, maybe that's the next thing for you. So just to be clear here, this is a freedom of speech issue, yet one of many that come under the rubric of the Human Rights Commission and the travesties that are all of the censorious sections that are in place across Canada about prohibiting discriminatory publication that
essentially means that if you hurt the feelings of a protected group, that you are going to be in trouble. And that's what we're dealing with.
Well,
here.
A lot of my homosexual complainants against me, I don't even think I hurt their feelings so much as made them mad. And then they use the Human Rights Commission as a vehicle to try to shut me or any other person up that they don't like.
Now, you said earlier on, okay, you are trying to get people to help you in your challenge to the Supreme Court of Canada. What exactly is the Supreme Court of Canada challenge about? Is it an appeal that you're appealing, that you're filing?
Yeah, actually, I lost at the Court of Queen's Bench level, and then we appealed again, and this is a $17,500 fine and a lifetime speech ban.
The famous lifetime speech ban, right.
Yeah. It says don't put out any more flyers such as the ones you put out or anything similar, which is a lifetime speech ban. It's indefinite.
And the Queen's Bench in Alberta made that order?
No. This is the Court of Queen's – well, no. This was the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission,
right.
Or tribunal,
yeah.
That made the order. Anal Pandilla was the name of the kangaroo judge, and I'm not joking. That was his name. And he also happens to be a member of the Liberal Party of Canada. And
That explains it.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Well, he's also the same one who ruled against the marriage commissioners. You know, this guy just doesn't have any sympathy for Christian conscience or speech at all.
Well, sympathy or respect.
Well, he doesn't have any respect. No. He's politically correct. And, you know, I've put out flyers right in Prince Albert where his law office is. On him, and he claimed that hurt his feelings. And I say, well, your speech ban and $17,500 fine hurt my feelings.
That's right.
You know, so get used to it.
So he went to the Court of Queen's Bench to appeal the human rights ruling.
Yeah, and we lost there, and I continued to put out more flyers. And then Tom, my lawyer, appealed it to the Saskatchewan Court of Appeals, and I won. I won with a very strong ruling, a very unambiguous ruling.
Oh, okay.
And the Human Rights Commission isn't happy with that, so they appealed to the court of to the Supreme Court of Canada.
Okay.
Now this is interesting. So when a complainant files a complaint through the Human Rights Commission against a guy like you, they get all of their expenses paid for.
They paid to bring Jens Hellquist down to be the so-called expert. Also, part of mine, and your listeners would certainly be interested to know this, part of the fine against me, $10,000 of it, was for criticizing Jens Hellquist's magazine. He also makes a magazine called Perceptions. And he had ads in there, and I will quote it verbatim, 28-year-old man from Austria, interested in boys/men, age, race, and one or two other things not so relevant, exchange video pics and more. And it's pretty clear what that ad's getting at. It's pretty clear boys, age not so relevant, exchanging videos, pics and more. And these are in classifieds where you got, advertisements for anal sex and different stuff. So anyways, I found this in the public library, and I put out thousands of flyers on it. And they certainly, even Anal Pandilla himself, didn't dispute my ad. But he brought in Jens Hellquist to be an expert on his own ad. And Jens, of course, says, well, that boys don't mean boys. We're talking about boys as in the boys going out for a beer. And, of course, grade 4 English tells you that isn't what that ad says.
Right.
You know, that's saying boys, age not so relevant.
I would like to see what the reaction would be in a classified ad in just a regular newspaper that said, Austrian man looking for... girls or women, age doesn't matter.
And rightfully so. That would be condemned, and probably most mainstream papers wouldn't take it.
Right.
Jen's paper certainly took this ad, and it took about 5,000 of my flyers before he pulled it. And he eventually did pull it. It took a couple months and a lot of flyers and a lot of phone calls, but they eventually got pulled. And, I went to the police. They didn't want to touch it, even though the death sergeant didn't argue with the interpretation, he understood it.
Right.
None of the mainstream media would touch it. It's just amazing how political correctness has rendered adults incapable of protecting children in the media industry.
Well,
they should have been outraged.
It's trumped our laws. It's trumped the court's attention to pandering. I mean, this is judicial pandering at its best when you see some of the decisions that are,
is that Jens wasn't condemned for allowing those ads, and I was fined $10,000 for exposing them. Hmm. Now, the people that got my flyer were upset about the ads.
Sure they would be.
Yeah. There was lots of people upset there, and that's why he finally pulled the thing.
I want to get back on track to the commission appealing the top court in Saskatchewan's ruling. Now, the commission is appealing that to the Supreme Court of Canada. Are they paying your legal fees now since they so
Oh, no, I'm up to about $400,000 in legal fees.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, but
we're paying for that, and, different Christians that help out are...
Okay, but
probably about 5% of our legal fees have been paid for.
Bill, I want to make this abundantly clear for our audience. Okay, so why isn't the guy who brought the complaint against you appealing to the Supreme Court of Canada? Why is the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission doing it?
Well, I believe that academics have designed this quite deliberately. Ezra Levant touched on it. He went to a meeting once and they weren't aware that he was in his room. I think it was at the University of Alberta, where one of the academics, who's a real Christian hater and a lover of human rights commission, said, even if we lose, the bigots will be ground down with legal fees and stuff.
You know what?
So it is designed, that quote-unquote bigots like me will always lose, whether the ruling's favorable or not, because how many people can survive hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees? And the homosexual activists who use it, because Christians, we really don't use it much, and I don't recommend that we do.
I think we should just blast them all. I think we should every time.
Yeah, we need to get rid of them.
Every time somebody makes a nasty comment about a Christian, we should be filing complaints galore.
Well, actually, you'd be wasting your time. There is one Christian who did complain against a song called "Kill the Christians" by Deicide, and his complaint was just simply dismissed. Personally, I won't use it to complain against my bigots, because I think they have a right to exist, those who say nasty things about me. Unless it goes into libel, but then we got civil court and libel laws.
Yeah.
I did successfully sue a university for libel that said I advocated the murder of homosexuals at the University of Regina, and they had to settle. But people who write nasty things about me in the blogs, I'll be the last guy to ever complain against them. They got a right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the attitude I think Christians should have. And that being said, I tried to file a complaint once with the Human Rights Commission because I had a heterosexual family pride parade going in Regina, and I had decent attendance. There was quite a few people that came out to march and to look at it. And, seeing as the homosexuals had a special day, and it wasn't anything less than the Human Rights Commission that forced the city to proclaim it, I thought some heterosexuals feel discriminated against, and we should have a day to celebrate monogamy and heterosexual marriage. And I tell you, the day was refused. It was allowed the first time, but that caused fireworks. And so the second time around, the city wasn't going to proclaim it ever again. And I went to the Human Rights Tribunal, and within 48 hours, they actually had a rejection letter courier to my door. So the point being that even though I followed all the same steps as the sodomites, all the same steps, and did it legally, it was rejected within 48 hours. So these things are stacked, and Christians are crazy to think they're ever going to get justice out of them.
Oh yeah, but unless you're crazy like this one, and I'm just waiting for my opportunity to file my complaint against the BC Human Rights Tribunal for systemic bias discrimination against Christians, which will be really fun.
Well, you can, but they'll just reject it.
Well,
we got to work at getting rid of them.
But Bill,
that's really what we got to do, and we don't want them limited. We want them gone.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only solution.
Now, Bill, in getting ready for your October appeal at the Supreme Court of Canada, you mentioned something about you're trying to get supporters, and you're calling them Christian guerrillas.
Oh, yeah.
Explain that, please.
Well, these are guerrillas because we are fighting spiritual warfare. I believe it comes from Ephesians 5, and, of course, our weapons aren't guns and knives. Our our weapons is truth, and I would like a little bit of courage amongst our fellow Christians. And you know, I saw the way good Christians who I respect got grinded down. Scott Brockie comes to mind. You know, the mayor of London, Diane Haskett, they went through all the nice hoops, and they kept their mouths shut, and they went through all the legalities, and they spent lots of money, and they just lost anyways. So really, the way I'm doing it is I don't retreat. You know, you keep throwing stuff at me, I keep going forward. And, of course, the one thing the left hates is my flyers. And so for me, you know, because I don't believe the flyers are wrong. There is no reason to limit them. They're good flyers. They're good for reading. I think the thing to do is right in the middle of my trial, just as with the professional tribunal when they were taking away my nursing license, well, right in the middle of it, I had to leave for 2 hours to go pick at Planned Parenthood, which is the whole purpose of them stripping me of my license was for picketing these guys. So I just did more of the same because it was a good thing to do. And I think psychologically that's good, and then I think it sends a clear message that there is no reason to be ashamed of this behavior. And so we are putting out 5,000 more flyers called the Sodomite Agenda. That's the name, and it has all the medical facts, which are absolutely indisputable, whether you're left, right, center. You know, it's doctors and research. It is not Christians that have found these diseases to afflict the homosexual population disproportionately. And then it has my theological arguments. It has the good news, because I do believe we should care about homosexuals and we should care about their spiritual welfare, and there is a place in heaven if one turns from that sin. And so this is what the flyers say, and, you know, I also got a picture of Pierre Trudeau exactly where he deserves to be. And we're putting out 5,000 of them in Ottawa.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bill, for all of that. Mind reels at the image that you've...
Especially because we've actually seen the picture,
yes.
And anyone who wants to see the picture can just go to your website.
That's right.
Yeah, freenorthamerica.ca.
Okay,
But, Bill, before you go, I'm interested to know, when in one of your press releases, you said that the attorney generals, there's at least three now that
at the moment, and Tom is expecting more.
They're indicating that they want to intervene in this case.
Right.
Now, Tom said that they have, because I did speak to your lawyer earlier today, and he indicated that he thinks he has to have their briefs by the end of this month. So we're going to follow this case, because I'm very curious to see what the Attorney General of Canada, our Conservative government, position is going to take, especially when there is so much hatred for these human rights commissions. You know, they are despised in Canada here. They have wreaked havoc on free speech. And
well, most people know they don't have credibility. Mm. They are not truly legal as much as they are ideological.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's going to be an interesting case, and I'm looking forward to receiving the briefs, because I'm going to tell you right now, I will not be surprised if they want to uphold the legitimacy of human rights commissions.
Well, unfortunately, that's what I'm expecting, and I think it's because there's powers and elites out there that don't necessarily respect opinion polls, and they exert pressure that we don't see on our governments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Bill
that's
Watcott.
That's unfortunate, but that's what we're dealing with.
Thank you very much for joining us, Bill, and continued good luck and Godspeed. Okay.
Yes, and God bless all of you, too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye.
Thank you.
While we're just on this subject, yes. Terry, another case that we have addressed here on the show is the Mark Lemire case.
Right.
And I got, you know, where are these cases? Because I think these are all important. These are important for what we do here at Roadkill.
Yeah,
these
absolutely.
Are important for what our audience does, because this is going to be what kind of information you can get people. So we all have a stake in this. So I sent a little email off to Mark asking him about the status of his case. And he just wrote back and he said, I wish I had a good update, but we are stuck at the federal court with nothing going on. They have not even scheduled a hearing date yet. My lawyer has written multiple times to complain with no results. Last I heard, the federal court was asking for availability of all the lawyers involved. So this thing is just in judicial limbo. Of course, Mark is challenging the legitimacy of Section 13 of the Canadian Human Rights Code.
Yeah.
Very important case.
Sorry.
That nobody seems to want to deal with. Yeah. So,
you know, I just had a thought. You mentioned how conservative, we got a conservative government, and this is a conservative issue, you think they would act. But in a strange way, it's always the guy on the other side of the political spectrum who feels free to act. If John F. Kennedy had gone to China to open up relations with China, everyone would have said, well, you're just a communist because you're a Democrat. You're always lean that way. And holy mackerel. It took Richard Nixon. It's always that Richard Nixon has to go to China. So
Sarah Palin has to go to Cuba. Is that it?
Well, no, what I'm saying, you know, I'm going to put it right here to British Columbia. We now have a new premier who's perceived as quite a left-wing member of the coalition that operates under the umbrella of the BC Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it couldn't perhaps have been the conservative premier who was supposedly conservative, the Gordon Campbell, who could have repealed Section 7 or maybe even done away with the whole thing, maybe it's the Liberal, the small L Liberal Premier British Columbia, who can go to the other side and say, I can do this because obviously it's not out of ideological. I'm a liberal. I'm a good human rights person, but this isn't real human rights. That's why I get rid of it. So it might, you know, how that political dynamic works.
So I'm thinking,
we should challenge Christy Clark and her new government to look into Section 7 and maybe look in. I know that when Gordon Campbell first came in a decade ago, he got rid of the whole Human Rights Commission.
Hmm.
And it did amend the tribunal and amended the act quite a bit, but of course didn't go far enough.
Did I ever tell you my funny little story about that? Just quickly,
no.
I was, of course, you know, a regular at the human rights tribunals because it was being hauled up, and I wanted access to my file, and of course they were stymieing me on a whole bunch of things. But and just very quickly, my secretary and I demanded to see my file. We went in; they put us in a room. That was off a conference room. And in that conference room, now there's a little bit of a story here because I'm very much a headline person. I don't look at the ads in newspapers. I don't read comics, all that kind of stuff. I'm really boring when it comes to, you know, just give me the information.
Yeah, good for you.
Where Mary, who worked with me, my dear friend Mary.
Oh, yes, I remember her.
I'd hear her chuckling away at her desk, and of course she'd be into these comics. So we kind of had this thing. Anyway. Good thing, because we're in this room, this conference room at the BC Human Rights Commission, people, something that's supposed to be neutral, apolital, you know, no bias, no discrimination.
Right.
And on the wall is a poster of Premier Campbell, a very not a nice poster put out by the BC Teachers Federation with him having horns and all kinds of things. And I come back in and Mary says, Carrie, look at this. And I, you know, I just took it off the wall and absconded with it. And I made a few phone calls to a few of the liberal MLAs, one who just happened to be coming over for coffee the next morning. Needless to say, the second in command, who this was just after Mary Wu Sims was ousted. I can't recall exactly the name of the next guy who held up the helm, maybe you know. But anyway, needless to say, that was on a Saturday. I gave the poster over. He was gone on the Wednesday. And the Human Rights Commission shortly thereafter.
And that's why Roadkill Radio has the stellar reputation it has throughout the known world. Nice going.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Roadkill Radio.